Good morning. Today is Wednesday, March the 25th. Joining us from her home, this is called Space Age Technology, Humboldt County Supervisor Estelle Fennell. Good morning.
Good morning, Brian.
I thought we would...
I really miss being in there, I got to tell you. I do. But we got to do this. We all have to do our part in staying away from each other. So, especially in tight quarters where I have fond memories of your studio, and it's not very big.
Well, April will be together. I firmly anticipate that one. Okay, so are you ready for our Why Do We Say That?
I am, although I'm sure I'm not going to do very well, but you never know. Ask me a good one.
Well, this one, you might have a chance at this one. Why do we call a light spank a paddywhack?
I don't know.
Okay. The Irish call St. Patrick, their patron saint, Padraig. And so an Irishman is called a paddy. Irish comedians in the English theater were very partial to slapstick. And so a paddywhack is a harmless slap done in jest. How's that for a little culture
for
you, huh?
I really, really, really should have taken a shot at that. with a knick-knack, paddywhack, give a dog a bone.
Yeah. That was probably from a pet shop in Ireland, right? Oh, boy.
Yeah.
So what has the county been doing differently during this stay at home? I refuse to use the word shelter. That has a different connotation. But the stay at home, is it disrupted things significantly, or is it something that you guys have been able to kind of rock and roll with?
I would say it's disrupted things significantly, but we're rocking and rolling with it. You know, the fact of the matter is that much of our services are essential services, so a lot of our employees are now working from home in order to honor the stay-at-home part of that. A lot of our face-to-face services are put on hold. Most meetings are on phone. There's a lot of disruption in that regard, but we are managing quite well at this point. We're going to have a special meeting tomorrow, looking at the situations with employees and how we can handle that. And by the way, that special meeting will not be attended by the public, although it will be an open meeting. So for the first time, we're going to try and have teleconferencing be part of the supervisors' meeting. It's something we've been talking about for a while, and now due to the COVID-19 pandemic response, we are putting it in motion, and the tech guys are working on it today.
So
I hope that they can pull it off.
Is that kind of like what we were seeing with the PG&E press conferences? Is it like on the county website, you go there and you just kind of see a live streaming of the event?
Yes, if we can pull it off, if we can be sure that it will be available by tomorrow, today when the agenda goes out at about 1:30, we will have a link in that agenda for people to attend the meeting teleconferencing. So keeping our fingers crossed that we can actually pull it off. Otherwise, we're just going to have to, I don't know, maybe have phone conferencing, something. That's how Supervisor Wilson was joining us in earlier meetings, and we were going to have Supervisor Madrone that way as well.
So kind of like that Zoom thing that people are talking about now more prevalently. The technologies are there. Whether or not we can figure out how to use them is always kind of the challenge, isn't it?
Yeah, and I mean, that's, you know, you've heard me say this more than once. With every challenge, there is an opportunity, and the technology is there, so we just need to figure out. In this time, it's kind of interesting. We do have the technology, but we also have limited things like delivery and that. It's really interesting, Brian, as I look at the level of calls that I'm getting and the emails and issues that I'm working with the OES on, It's everything is related to this, you know, whether it's businesses or homeless issues or testing or what you name it, pretty much everything on my to-do list has to do with the COVID-19 response.
Now, yesterday there was an announcement that there was a third case in the county that had tested positive. Are you surprised that we have any? Are you surprised that it's as low as it is?
I you know, obviously I've been listening to Dr. Frankovich, and she has told us all along that she was sure we would have other cases. So I'm not surprised, and I won't be surprised if we have more. The part of the issue is the testing. There are quite a number of tests that have been done that have not come back yet. And there's also not a widespread testing yet just because of the availability of the testing kits. So as those tests become available, I am sure we're going to see more. Now, the thing that has people concerned is if they have symptoms, shouldn't they go to the top of the list for testing? And of course they should. And as we've heard many times, those symptoms, the symptoms that really and in the circumstances that really rise to the top for hospitals and clinics is whether you've got a fever, a cough, and you have problems with your respiratory system. Those are the ones that get you to the very top. And the other thing then is if you've traveled out of county. And as we know from this particular case that was this confirmed yesterday, this group did go out of to another country, but it wasn't one of the ones that had been flagged, like Italy and China.
Not yet,
Korea,
huh?
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly.
Right.
You got it. Just concerned.
No, we had to sneak a break in here. We'll be back with more from Estelle.
Listen to 980 AM for the best music. ABBA, Neil Diamond, Barbra Streisand, Billy Joel, and The Fifth Dimension. The all-time best are heard every day, all day long on 980 AM. We are easy radio. Easy on your ears and easy on your mind. This is memory-making music, and you'll love the memories you create. Tune in and hear the best music. Easy radio, 980 AM.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:24. We're back talking shop this morning with Estelle Fennell. With the sheltering stay at home that everybody is being told to do, I would suspect that the county, not only do you have new protocols and procedures, but there's also signs of creativity that may not have been expected. Pleasant surprises.
Yeah, well, first of all, I think that people are being quite good about it. You know, one of the things I obviously at the beginning of this, there was skepticism. And but as time has gone on, I've noticed that no matter where throughout my district and the county in general, people are being very respectful of the whole concept of protecting each other. So that's good. People have been creative as far as businesses that serve the public. I'm very impressed with Humboldt Distillery, and they're making that sanitizing.
Yeah, the gel.
The gel. I mean, that's amazing. It just shows you that creativity, it always rises to the top. And I was just talking with somebody yesterday regarding whether or not people in general should be wearing masks. And people, not here so much yet, but have been coming up with masks. Part of the reason that the health officer has not mentioned it before is we're really trying to save the supplies for people who either have the disease or healthcare workers or emergency responders.
Yeah, I think that the healthcare folks really do need. I read a story earlier this week that was indicating in this facility, whatever it was, that they got one mask a day. And it's like, well, you know, they probably have a little bit higher risk. They probably should at least have three or four. if not one for every, you know, just based on whatever the availability is that in that community, rather than those of us that may not be interacting with folks outside of the family unit. Why, you know, give it to those that have the higher risk?
Oh, Brian, I could. This is so important. I mean, these healthcare workers, doctors, nurses, people who work throughout the healthcare system, every single one of them right now is putting their life on the line to protect us and to protect those who have been tested positive. So I think that, you know, every time they do a test, they're exposing themselves. And as this moves forward and they're dealing with more people with symptoms, they are putting themselves even more at risk. And I know that in other countries where this has expanded, quite a number of healthcare workers have themselves come down with the disease. And I do want to stress that even though we talk a lot about young, older people being the ones who are, and people with immune depression being the ones that are most vulnerable, the fact of the matter is that younger people are getting this. And you might not die from it, but you're going to get really, really sick.
Yeah, there was...
That, it's horrible.
There was a article I read yesterday. The governor of Michigan had introduced a variable, and I hadn't thought of it, and kind of, for those that vape, which tend to be the youngers, is this putting them at a higher risk because of that and the concentration of the substances that they're using with that versus the rest of us? Just hadn't thought of it.
Oh, so, you know, obviously we've heard that, you know, people with heart problems, people with kidney, anyone who's really basically got a kind of internal issues that put them more at risk. And, of course, people who smoke and people who vape. Anybody who kind of puts stress on their lungs is going to be more susceptible because this disease completely attacks your lungs with a very vicious kind of pneumonia. It's really, that's what we're talking about, is pneumonia, not the flu. And it really does really have an intense effect on your lungs. And it's I read in one description from hospitals in Italy where it was a gruesome description, but it's just, we should say it anyway because we need to know this. He described this doctor just walking down the hallway and everybody was gasping for breath. Just think about that. Do we want to see that? It really is a serious situation. And, you know, if you are a smoker or a vapor, you might think about that as well.
Neither of us are spring chickens, but neither of us are old enough to remember World War One either. I don't know why, but maybe it was that movie that came out. Stefan drug me out to watch it with him. The concept of mustard gas, it kind of almost, I don't know if it's parallel or not, but that's kind of how I have positioned it in my head emotionally. I've not taken the time to see if it's accurate. But a lot of the damage that was done in World War One was based on lung, not the mental stuff, not the physical stuff, but the impact to the lungs themselves. And I'm kind of playing that one out in my head the last few days also.
Yeah, I really think it's people need to remember that it's, you know, we talk about it being a flu, but the real issue is that this is pneumonia, and it is a very intense pneumonia that there is no cure for yet. So by practicing the social distancing and the stay at home and just washing hands and being aware that these droplets can be on any surface around, keeping things sanitized, those things can really help. And the way it's been described by healthcare workers and the health officer is you basically have to, as you do this, you're not guarding yourself against the person who is infected. You're guarding the person you are near in case you're infected. So
right.
You all have to act as if we could be carrying the disease and protect each other.
KINS News and Information time is 8:30. Hi, this is Brian Papstein. This afternoon, Humboldt County Health Officer Teresa Fankovic is having a press conference and will be announcing the formalization of our current practices, formerly referenced as shelter in place. What does this mean? How does it impact you? Find out as we will be talking with Humboldt County Sheriff Billy Hansel this afternoon. Stay tuned here in the 4 o'clock hour. You'll be able to hear that interview in its entirety, and we'll have it on our website later this afternoon. Good morning, KINS News and Information Times, 8:35. We're back talking shop remotely with Estelle Fennell. Talk shop presented by CDH Painting, Redeck, Humboldt Termite and Pest Control, and Murphy's Markets. Before the rumor gets out, you're not in Hawaii. You're not in the South Seas, right?
No.
All right. Okay.
No, I'm right here in beautiful Humboldt County and glad to be here.
Yeah, no kidding. Hey, I had somebody tell me yesterday, and I don't know how true it is, if it's anecdotal or if it's real, but that we're starting to see people from the Bay Area coming up and spending prolonged periods either with an Airbnb or in hotels, getting out of the Bay Area and coming up here because we have had less reporting. Are you hearing anything along those lines?
Oh, yes, absolutely. In fact, it was really interesting. It just goes to show you, Brian, that human beings are like any other species, like ants or whatever. We all seem to go in the same place at the same time. But across the world, or across the northern hemisphere anyhow, the weather was great this weekend. And so whether it was the Bay Area or Shelter Cove or Trinidad, you name it, people were out in force and they were not practicing social distancing. And that was problematic in itself. And now we do have people who might have a second home or who are up here. And we have received reports of vacation home rentals filling up with people fleeing the city. The sheriff says at this time there isn't any restriction that prevents this from occurring. In fact, a hotel or any rental unit is considered as a residence, so you just are supposed to do the same thing as everybody else is doing. It would be very, very difficult at this point, the sheriff says, to enforce that, but there are legitimate travelers that also don't have a primary residence. There's essential workers who have to stay in hotels, or there are people that are displaced that are seeking refuge. So what's happening is that the sheriff is keeping an eye on it. Also, say, for instance, over the weekend in Shelter Cove, there were a lot of people concerned about a very, you know, significant influx of people. So there was an improvement. This is putting out signs now, letting people know how to behave in public, how to keep social distancing, etc. And so we don't want to, you know, this is a bit of a concern. I think it was such a concern down in Marin and Sonoma County that they actually closed the national park at Point Reyes, and they're closing most of the parks in the state because of this.
Yeah, I had heard that everybody was trying to get out on the trails in Marin County, but realizing that there are not too many trails in Marin County compared to where we are as far as density. All of a sudden, all the parking lots are full and people are trying to, you know, it kind of boomeranged a little bit on that. What are you hearing either with the homeless in Southern Humboldt or the food banks? I mean, are there changes going on with the dynamics there also?
So right now, in response to this, there's a group in Southern Humboldt area called SHOW. And they are working with the homeless. They were actually the first, as far as I know, in Humboldt County to come up with the idea of providing hand washing stations. And there are several hand washing stations throughout Garberville and Redway area. I talked with the Department of Health and Human Services, and they assured me that this volunteer group who paid for them for the first month, the county will pick that up as we move forward as part of the funding that we're getting from the state and the feds. There's also now locations identified throughout the county, I believe, certainly in Soham and in Eureka, I haven't talked to Fortuna City Council, but I believe they're doing the same thing, identifying hotel rooms that could be used if people do test positive that are that don't have a home. What we really want to see is that if they have to shelter in place, they have a place to do it. And so that's happening. I think we had almost $700,000 confirmed came into the county as of Monday or Tuesday that is going to go for helping with homeless issues. So there's quite a lot happening.
Specifically associated with this situation?
Specifically associated with this situation, yep.
Well, at least there's some opportunity to help everybody out in those areas. Now, there was something that was released. Oh, Greg Foster had it. It was either Friday or Monday. Things are blending again. About assistance for local businesses and those, you know, employees that may also be in either part-time laid off, short-term layoff, that kind of stuff. Is there been movement in that arena also?
Oh, absolutely. So in our response to the health officer's declaration, her order, we have activated our emergency operations center, and there are several different branches of that, and one of those is dealing specifically with business. And we actually have a business information line for people who want more information about whether or not they can get help for their business, because businesses have been hit really, really hard. So I'm sure you probably have this, but I'll just repeat it. The number is 707-268-2527. That's 707-268-2527. And that is a COVID business information hotline. And so we have all of the various groups, REDEC, AEDC, Economic Development Director, are all tracking all of the various kind of funding be available. And then, as you are probably aware at this point, the president did declare a major disaster for California, and at the request of Governor Newsom. In fact, it was a very quick turnaround. The governor requested it, and he got it within 2 hours. And that includes help for business owners, self-employed, and workers who've not earned enough wages to qualify for regular unemployment. And it'll also help individuals who've collected all of their unemployment benefits and could file for what's called a disaster unemployment assistance. So that'll provide assistance to all Californians who don't qualify for unemployment. And in the meantime, there's also definitely going to be help through the SBA and other avenues for businesses that are feeling a very big crunch on this one. I know I was talking with John Porter yesterday from the Benbow Inn, and they've closed the Benbow Inn. They have a skeleton staff there. I know that other hotels have also closed or gone down to a skeleton staff. So that's just one business. Anything that's a non-essential business now has to close down, and that's having, of course, a huge, hopefully very temporary impact, but it's nonetheless an impact, especially for small businesses, Brian, because basically they kind of go from one month or 2 months at a time. You know, it's not that they've got a huge contingency fund sitting there for a situation like this.
KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:43.
The Redwood Region Economic Development Commission wants you to know that local economic development agencies, business resource organizations, financial institutions, and jurisdictions are working together to provide resources for the COVID-19 pandemic. For more information, go to northcoastsbdc.org or call the OES Business Hotline at 268-2527. 268-2527.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:48. We're back talking shop this morning with Estelle Fennell. Estelle, what do you anticipate for the rest of this week and the next couple of days?
But I think it's going to be more of the same. We may, you know, depending on how people respond to the orders, we may have to step it up a notch. So for Humboldt County, though, we're going along pretty well, and we're just kind of working out the kinks. Again, as I said, we'll have a special meeting tomorrow. Hopefully we'll have a presentation with Dr. Frankovic and others regarding the COVID response, the sheriff, et cetera. And we'll also be dealing with our own employees here at the county. And for the next few days, you know, we did put this out when the order came about. It was to go to April 9th. So we have canceled our regular board meetings through April 7th. And we'll see if that's got to be extended. As we know, the prediction has been that we'll be dealing with this for a bit longer than we had hoped. But again, the bottom line is people really need to remember that this is not the kind of disaster that we often play out, you know, with earthquakes, et cetera. This is one where we still have the essentials. We still do have deliveries at this point of food and other items that are in need, that people need. So we should be able to keep going. And hopefully we can keep that under control as well. So that's what I see, Brian. Of course, people should help the Humboldt County, humboldtgov.org and the Humboldt Help Alert. That gives you the most up-to-date information every single day. And that's very important to check out.
Well, good deal. Have a good meeting tomorrow, Estelle, and we'll be in touch, okay?
Thank you, Brian.
Thanks.
You too.
Bye-bye.